Bismillah, alhamdulillah, and welcome to Way of the Muslim, Defining the Muslim Character. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next few minutes, we want to talk on the subject of developing the good morals, attributes, and virtues of the Muslim based on the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, or way, of Muhammad. Peace and blessing be upon him. We're going to be referring to the Hadith, or his teachings, these narrations, which have been preserved for many hundreds of years, so that we can take advantage of it in our lives today. We spoke in our previous programs regarding the subject of repentance and salvation in Islam. We talked about what happens when a person has a good intention to start with, but then they develop something called riya, or showing off for other folks. And then we talked about how to overcome this problem. And now specifically we want to talk about another area, which is the forms of what's called prayer. And the first is something that, by the way, the English doesn't have accommodation for this. So we have to go to the Arabic language to pull this out. So bear with me while we do that. The first is the type of prayer which a person should be in all the time. This is mentioned in previous revelations. And that is called dhikr of Allah, the adhkar. And this is something where we are constantly thinking about Allah. He's watching me. He knows what I'm doing. I have to be afraid in front of Allah for my actions, because if I do sins, I know He's watching me and I better be careful. But then there's another type of prayer. And this type of prayer is where we stand and bow and prostrate. This type of prayer, this worship, is called salah. And then the third type, this is where you raise your hands and you ask Allah, "Oh Allah, I need this, I need that, please don't let such and such happen, or I need such and such to occur," and so on. This is dua, or supplication. All of these can be translated to English with only one word, prayer, but then you wouldn't know what we were talking about. So now we're going to talk about, in some detail, the subject of the dhikr, or being God-conscious, remembering Allah in the things that we do. The dhikr is a great part of our life, and it's an excellent method for us to have a purification of the heart, because it erases all the diseases from the heart, and it produces a love for the sake of Allah and creates the consciousness of His greatness. It brings us divine peace and satisfaction. And Allah the Almighty Himself asks us to remember Him as much as possible. Now what we're talking about here is in the Quran. The Quran is called dhikr, by the way. That's one of the names for the Quran, the remembrance of Allah. So when you're reading the Quran, of course in the Arabic language, then you're actually doing this God consciousness, having this dhikr for Allah. Let's read from Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 41. If you go by the numbers, like I do. It says, "O you who believe, remember Allah often and glorify Him morning and evening." And the word used here is from adhkar, or dhikr, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another verse in the Quran, Allah says, "Then when the Jummah Salah is finished, you can disperse throughout the land, seek the bounty of Allah, and remember Allah much, that you will be successful." This is in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, that's chapter 62, verse 10. It's talking here about what to do after the Friday sermon. The Friday sermon is called the Khutbah Jummah, and when it's over with, then you're free to go out in the lands and seek the bounties of Allah. So there's not something in Islam where we have one whole day where we're not able to work or do any business. No, there's just a couple hours here to take out of this particular day and dedicate it to going to the masjid or the mosque and pray there, listen to what the imam or the preacher has to say for us. Then, after that, go out seeking Allah's bounties, but keeping the remembrance of Allah in our hearts and minds while we're out doing so. And by the way, I found that very useful for myself. I like to do that. I like to listen to something about the way of Islam, or read the Quran, and then when I go out into the daily life, keep in mind that Allah is watching and paying attention to how my character is. Let's again, why I want to remind myself and all of us that the purpose behind this program is to develop this good Muslim character. Also in the Quran, this is something else Allah says. Those who believe in the oneness of Allah, this is talking about the Tawheed in Islam, the monotheism, those who believe in Allah and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, verily in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find this rest. This is in Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 28. And in a verse, the men of faith have specifically been warned not to forget to do this adhkar, dhikr for Allah, to be absorbed in this even when they're out seeking their wealth or taking care of their families. Allah also tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, don't let your riches, your wealth, your children divert you from the remembrance of Allah in any act. Thus, the loss is their own. So if anybody acts like that, then they're the losers. I'm going to repeat it because, as we mentioned in some of our previous programs, this is, of course, what Prophet Muhammad used to do, peace be upon him. O you who believe, don't let your wealth or your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Because if any of you do this, then the loss is your own. Think about that for a minute. When I go out in the day and I'm working, or maybe mowing the lawn or trying to make some money, take care of my family, if I get really diverted away from the remembrance of Allah, things can occur and I might do things that are really out of character, not good, bad things, because I wasn't thinking of Allah. Sometimes when we go to the mosque, or sometimes we're sitting with good people or reading the Quran, we feel, you know, really good. We have this idea that I want to do good things. I want to go out and improve myself. But then when I go out into the world, what happens is I get distracted away from this remembrance of Allah, and then I begin to get into these crazy nonsense things that happen. So this is what this is telling you. Even though you left the mosque or left the person or you closed your Quran and walked away from it, but still don't close your mind off. Don't close your heart off. Keep thinking of Allah and think of some of the things that go along with that. In relation to that particular ayah or verse that I read to you from the Quran, the Prophet ﷺ taught us an amazing type of dhikr that's associated with that. He spoke about it, and it's in reference to this ayah or verse. And that if a person would say, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahu mulku walahu hamd, yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, would record for him 100 good deeds, take away 100 bad deeds, and give him the reward as though he had freed 10 slaves, and that this saying would be a source of protection for him all day long against the shaitan or the devil. Now, the translation of what I said, maybe in some of our upcoming programs, it was just to give you an idea that this is one of the types of dhikr or adhkar that you can make. That you are just doing this for Allah. You're remembering Allah. Now, maybe you're new to Islam and you don't know a lot of Arabic. I can recommend something real easy for you. You can say Allah. You can say the word Allah until you learn more. Then you can say Subhanallah, which is to glorify and magnify Allah and His greatness. You could say Alhamdulillah, which means to give the praise and all the worship to Allah. And you can say Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And this is also something very good to say. And you can surely you can say La ilaha illallah. And this is one of the best sayings there is, according to the teachings of Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So all of these things are called adhkar or dhikr. And you can pronounce them slowly, step by step, until you're able to do so in an easy manner. And then you can follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he taught us that after every prayer that we should remember Allah. And you can do so with your hand. You can just touch your finger to your hand like this and say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. See how it works? You're glorifying Allah, magnifying Allah, in your mind and in your heart while you're saying that, and count all the way down on your fingers, then duplicating it again on the little finger, coming back, then doing it on the thumb twice, that's 33 times. And then you could say, Alhamdulillah, the same way, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and then go through the fingers again, step by step, and then twice on the little finger and come back again to the thumb and complete twice here. That will give you 33 of that. And then you say, Allahu Akbar. Again the same way. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 33 times. Now, 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Allahu Akbar is what? 99 times. So these 99 remembrances of Allah is something so beautiful, so wonderful, and that when a person does this after their prayers, then they followed the way of Muhammad, developing a characteristic of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that is to keep Allah in the remembrance of their mind and in their heart. Also, Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, don't let your riches or your children divert you away from the remembrance of Allah. If any acts like this, it's his loss. What would be the loss? What is the loss if he doesn't do it? Well, he's distracted. He's distracted by the material things. Also, a loss that he has, he didn't know this maybe, but each time I did that, I got reward for it. And another thing is that each time you do something like this, it's recorded as a good deed. But how about when you teach somebody to do it, then they do it. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us, whoever calls to a good deed, then he'll have the reward for that when the person does it. And it takes nothing away from the reward of the person doing the good deed. So all of this adds up to a form of remembering Allah, thinking about Allah, keeping this in our hearts and in our minds to the extent that, you know, when I go out through the day, I'm doing this or that, I still am conscious, Allah is watching, and it gives me a closeness to Allah. And this is one of the characteristics and aspects of Islam that we want to work on in our program called Way of the Muslim, Defining the Muslim Character. We want to take a break and come back to this. Stay tuned for more.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, we're back. You're watching Way of the Muslim, Defining the Muslim Character. We've been talking here on the subject of remembering Allah. And when a person's remembering Allah and thinking about Allah and the things that he does, this, as we said in English, is a form of prayer to keep Allah in our remembrance all the time. There's another type of prayer when we raise our hands and we ask Allah for things. And that's also something we're going to be talking about in our programs coming up. But I want to talk about something now that will destroy our good deeds. And we want to be very careful of that. The thing that will cancel out all these good prayers and wonderful things that I was doing, I could lose it all by something called ghiba. I want to talk about backbiting or ghiba in this segment of our program. One day the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked his dear companions whether they knew who the poor people were. And they answered, the poor is the one who has no money. And he said, in my nation, meaning the Muslims, the poor man is the one who appears on the day of judgment in front of Allah. And he had offered his prayers. And he had paid his charity. And he had observed the fasting. But he would have abused people. And he would have falsely accused some people. And he would have taken someone else's property without authorization, and he would have murdered someone. He would have hit somebody. And all of his virtues would then be given to his victims. If his virtues are finished before his wicked deeds are finished, then the errors and the sins of the victims would be given to him and be thrown into the hell as a result of it. Sometimes when we're in our program here, we will repeat some of the same teachings because they overlap and cover in other areas. In this case, specifically, I want to mention there's a point here that it says that when a person's backbiting, and that's the focus I want to take from here, backbiting is considered a sin so serious that if you engage in it, this is something that Allah will allow the person on the day of judgment to take their rights on you for what you said about them. And all of us have this. I don't think any human being can say they're totally free of slandering people behind their back, saying things behind their back that they don't want said. But Islam has a lot more to say about this subject. In fact, Allah warns us against ghiba or backbiting in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, when he tells us, don't backbite. If you're a believer, oh you who believe, don't engage in this backbiting of each other. Don't do that. Because, and look what he compares it to. He says, you would hate eating the flesh of your dead brother. So in the same way, you should hate doing ghiba. And we, in English today, call it backbiting. It's an interesting comparison, I would think. Now, regarding this, Ibn Abbas, this is the son of Abbas, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, says, on the day of Nahr, this was the Hajj, or the day of Eid celebration, the Prophet, peace be upon him, addressed the people, and he said, O people, what day is this? And they said, it's the sacred day. And then he was quiet. Then he asked, what month is this? They said, it's the sacred month. And then he was quiet. Then he said, what land is this? And they said, it's the sacred land. And then he was quiet. And then he announced, verily, your blood and your wealth and your honor is sacred one to the other. As the sacredness of this day, as the sacredness of this month, and as of the sacredness of this land. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, repeated it over and over. Then he raised his hands and his head to the, raised his head to the heavens and he said, O Allah, have I given the message? O Allah, have I given the message? Do we see something here? This is so important in the character of the Muslim that the Prophet, peace be upon him, repeats it over and over, and then he turns to Allah and he's asking, O Allah, have I delivered the message? So what is the message? The message is to know that each and every one of us has things that are our rights, that are sacred to us and to each other, and we have to respect each other's rights. You know, Islam is like this. It has two important ingredients. The first is rights, which we've been speaking about here. That which is sacred, a person's honor, his dignity, his respect, his wealth, and his family. All of these things are on this side of the balance. But on the other side is something called limits. We have to recognize limits. We can't transgress certain limits. We have to stay within due bounds. So Islam has given this balance in our character, in our life, that as we go through the daily life, we balance what we're doing and stay out of other people's rights. Let them have their rights too. Otherwise, as this hadith is teaching us, on the day of judgment, these people are going to be able to get their rights back anyway. Whatever you say and do against a person and backbiting them, they're going to get that back from you. Either they're going to take away from you what? Your good deeds? Or if you have no good deeds left, then as a result, they'll put their bad deeds on you and you wind up going to hell. And this is really a despicable condition. Not something you or I, either one, would want to fall into. And it can be avoided very easy. Look, see this thing? And we've mentioned in other programs, this lisan, this tongue, is something that if you could guard against it, It can be the difference of paradise or hell for you. Just this one little thing here called the tongue, just to keep it under your control. And don't use this against other people. This is a very, very important teaching in Islam about that. Let me elaborate a bit more on this subject. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, said to his companions, "Do you know what riba is?" They said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." Allah wa Rasulullah alam. He said, "It is to mention something about your brother in his absence that he hates to have mentioned." And they said, "Well, what if we say something about him and it's true?" And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "If what you said about him is true, then that's ghiba. You are doing backbiting to him. And if it's not true, then this is something even worse. This is slander." And certainly that becomes an area there where not only you did it, but you lied. It wasn't true. This could really double up against you. Something here for us to learn from is don't talk about people. Unless there's a need to mention something, it's best to be silent about people. Or to say about this person, you know, "I love this person for the sake of Allah. He has some nice qualities," something like that. Be careful of a word in English called "but." Because so many times we'll do that. Have you noticed that? Maybe you do. I don't know. But sometimes I find myself saying something nice about some person and then I hear myself say, "But," and whatever comes after that could be derogatory, could take away from the nice statement that I made. And this happens a lot to us. We find ourselves doing exactly that. We're saying, "Oh, this is nice, and that's nice, so and so, but," and the "but" will now, anything after that, cancel everything before it. And especially when we're talking about other people. It's important for us as Muslims to remember this tongue can get us a lot of trouble. So let's use the tongue for what? What we were talking about earlier, about the dhikr, the adhkar of Allah. So to use the tongue to mention Allah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. This is good things to use this tongue for. But it's not good to use this tongue to speak about other people in their absence. Or, and in another narration from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said it's even if he's present. Because some people say, "Well, I'll say this in front of his face." Well, what does that mean? That doesn't make it okay to say it, even if it's true. It's something that he would not like have said about him, whether he's present or absent. It's a form of ghibah or backbiting. May Allah save us from that. I hope all of us can take some benefit from this. We look at the severity of the situation and the result of someone who runs after their Muslim brothers and sisters trying to expose faults. Again, it comes back to, it's true, they did something bad. And it's true, it's a sin. But listen to this. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "O you who believe only with the tongue, yet faith has not entered your heart, don't backbite the Muslims. And do not search for their faults. For sure, he who follows the private matters of his brother Muslim, then Allah shall follow his private matters. And whoever has his private matters followed by Allah, Allah is going to expose them, even if they were hiding in the belly of their house." This is a very good teaching here for us to think about. By the way, the Prophet ﷺ used to repeat these. I'm going to recap it a bit, repeat it for you, and let you think about what's being said. "O you who have believed, but only with the tongue, yet faith is not in your hearts." What's that referring to? If you look in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49 of the Quran, the one that we were talking about backbiting, you'll also find in there some people said, "We're believers." These were the Bedouins, the desert dwellers. "We've entered Islam, so we're the believers now." And Allah warned them and said, "Don't call yourself believers, because iman, faith, has not yet entered your hearts. Rather say, we have submitted aslam," a form of the word Islam. This is important for us. So, and it continues, "Don't backbite the Muslims." Well, actually, I don't want to backbite anybody, but specifically, you sure don't want to backbite your brother Muslims. "And don't search for their faults. For sure, he who follows the private matters of his brother Muslim, then Allah is going to follow his matters. And whoever is having his matters followed by Allah, know that Allah is going to expose them no matter how you try to hide them, even in the belly of the house," as it says here. Amazing. truly amazing how Islam is dealing with subjects that today psychiatrists, you're talking about the top thinkers, the intellects of the world, will tell you that the very things that Islam is teaching in character development are things they're only discovering today in the West. Isn't that amazing? To know that these are the very things, lying, this is an example. Because when you lie, you have to tell a lie to yourself before you can tell a lie to somebody else. The lie you tell yourself, you say it's okay to lie. And it's not. Psychiatrists have taught us this. This is damaging to the psyche of the individual. So I want to think about that for a minute. How about this subject of backbiting? Is this damaging for me? Ask a psychiatrist and they'll tell you. It's not good to follow the matters of other people, to look up on what they're doing all the time and be concerned about that. Because in doing this, I'm hurting myself. I want to mention something else. A lot of the television shows we watch today deal with that subject. And it shows people going around doing exactly that. Saying lies, backbiting, and slandering other people. Regardless of how you see it in a TV show, doesn't make it acceptable. No matter how many times a day you see something like this, doesn't mean it's something you want in your character. This type of programming that you're watching now is to offset that. That's why we're doing this, so that we hope for ourselves and for you that we can better ourselves and develop the good way of the Muslim and define the Muslim character through these efforts. We hope, inshallah, God willing, you'll be with us for more of this. Until next time, this is Yusuf Estes saying, Salaam alaikum. Peace be with you.